Columbus, the fan. Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Welcome to Toronto, where the Blue Jackets are getting set to play the second game of their road trip tomorrow night after losing last night in Winnipeg by the score of 5-2. Jody, last night going into the game, the Blue Jackets had gotten points in five straight, but that came to an end. Look, we knew that was going to be a tough game just based upon a number of things. Back-to-back travel for the Blue Jackets. The Winnipeg Jets just went 2-4 on the six-game road trip. They were not happy. It's not even touching or scratching the surface of where the Winnipeg Jets were in their mindset going into that game. But yet it was a close game going into the third period. Winnipeg gets a couple in the third to put it away. But overall, what did you think of the performance last night?
You know, I thought it was very good considering the travel, the schedule, kind of where they were at. That was a game where they needed things to go their way, a lot of good things to go their way to win it. You know, in a back-to-back situation, you don't want to have an uphill climb and have a deficit to try to chase. And especially against a team like Winnipeg, who's big and organized and, you know, getting prepared to for a long Stanley Cup run and not happy with how they were playing, that's hard without even being in a back-to-back situation. And I think that's when that situation, the back-to-back, comes into play, is when you get down, okay? If you get up, you have the energy. You know, things are good. And I thought they played with pretty good energy last night. That would have been a steal if they would have got that win last night. And, you know, there was moments where the goaltending was good early, the penalty kill early in that game. Elvis played well. And then, you know, you don't see a lot of those slap shots from that angle, from those flanks going in very often in the NHL anymore. And there was different factors. One was Elvis was tampering with Taves and poking him in front and not focused on the puck. And, you know, sometimes he gets guilty of trying to do too much, and you don't blame one person, but he was a guy who hasn't played in a long time. He was probably the freshest player on the ice, and then there was a couple of those that you know he's not happy with. You could see in the game he wasn't happy with. So, you know, that's the fact, that's part of it. It's part of the streak that this team has been on. Jack Hughes has played well. He's made those key saves at key times, and they needed something special to happen throughout that game from every player, every situation, to get the win. They didn't, but they have to like how they turned around after losing four games in a row, finding their game and collecting points.
You know, when you talk about Elvis, and you're right, he hasn't played for a while, and when you go into a game like that, I think you tend, and especially him, because, look, sometimes he makes mistakes because he cares, and sometimes he cares too much. And as you said, he was the freshest guy. But going in, you've got to know, look, my team's not 100% tonight. I have to do something extra. And sometimes something extra, quite frankly, bites you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, it's hard as a professional athlete who's put in a spot, and I don't know goaltending, it's an individual place to play, and they're alone all the game, and it's not relying on, you know, guys to get the puck to you, or you're not doing give and goes and feeling good about some of those plays. You're waiting for the puck to come to you. So sometimes, yeah, you can try to do too much, and you know, that's, I don't know if he did that last night, but maybe over anxious on some of the plays he had made, and that they just, it's too bad they couldn't get that win. But I listen, back to back Winnipeg, 2.5 hour travel, I can list all the excuses that they won't talk about because I know their factors. But again, it needed to be kind of a downhill game for them, things to come a little easier, and it's, you're not going to get that from the Winnipeg Jets anytime.
No, you're not. And I thought really when Miles Wood scored at the end of the first period, I thought, hey, maybe this is one of those nights. It didn't turn out to be that way, but let's talk about Miles Wood. I mean, as the lineup changes night in and night out, when he's healthy, he's in it, and he's all over the place in different ways. He's on different lines, and when he's on the ice, he's all over the place. And the goal that he gets last night, Damon Severson springs him on it. And Damon said after the period that, you know, they played together in New Jersey. And that was a play that he was very familiar with when they played together there. And I talked to Miles about it after the game, too. And he goes, yeah, usually it's just flip it up in the air. And I go, he goes, but yeah, we did that before, too. So this guy, I mean, where does he fit in? I guess the answer is probably anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah, I mean, you know, he seems like a guy. He'd be a fun guy to play with because, I mean, you just got to get the puck on the end boards or in front of him. He'll win any race, you know. His dad played in the National Hockey League. He was a fast player. Miles was an athlete. We talked to him last night in our show, and he said he hadn't really picked up hockey very seriously until college. And, you know, it served him well to play other sports. He's got all that speed, and he's big, and I think he creates a lot of fear for the opposition because he just goes. Like, he doesn't care. If there's no room at all, he'll find it. And, you know, some of these D going back for a puck, he's reckless in a great way, and I just hope he can stay healthy. I mean, it seems like every game there's some kind of collision or stick or yard sale, and it's all out of effort. And I don't know. Yeah, he can slot in anywhere with that type of speed, and now he's got the ability to kind of put the D on notice and push them back. And also on the forecheck, I don't know if I'd like to go in a corner with him because who knows what's going to happen.
You know, I wish some other guys would look at the example that he sets, and it's this. He's never going to overthink the game.
Never.
Because he just plays. And there's not a lot of things. There's some, okay. There's always some. But he's not going to paralyze himself by trying to think, what should I do right here? He's just going to go. He said on his breakaway last night, he goes, I don't even know why I put it there. He goes, yeah, you have some kind of idea what you might want to do. He said, but as I got there, I just did something.
Isn't that great? There's so much value in that in anywhere in life. Just kind of do your job and do it as best as you can. And he seems like he's in the moment. You know, what a great place to be. Just stick within the moment. Oh, the puck's ahead of me. I'm gone. And he loves to be in a race, it looks like, and he usually wins them. So it's a nice asset to have. And we see the Blue Jackets doing that quite a bit this year with their breakouts, is trying to build speed, get the puck off the end board, win the race, and then create some havoc down there, which is a really smart play. You see Marchenko getting those races. You see Voronkov sometimes getting sprung there. So I think it all started with Miles Wood, and I think it was his first goal off the end boards with the Blue Jackets, wins the race and puts it in, and it's like, ah, this is a new play. This will work.
Well, as he bounces around the lineup, there are guys that are bouncing in and out of the lineup. I mean, a week ago, it was Kent Johnson that was a healthy scratch. I think he's picked up his game ever since then. But Yegor Chinnikov still cannot find a way to stay in this lineup day in and day out. He goes from playing with Monahan and Kent Johnson one day to watching from the press box the next day. And yesterday morning, Dean Evason was asked, what are you not seeing from him? What does he have to do if he wants to play every day? And he simply said he's got to compete. He's got to put his nose in there all of the time. And is that just simply what it is with him? And yes, some games he looks better than others. So does everybody. But he can't find consistency, can he?
It's a tough spot. I mean, you're not playing hockey when your leash is so short. You're not playing. You're thinking. You know, and when you're thinking, you lose speed. You start doubting yourself. You try to do what the coach wants. You're thinking about your system. You know, if you make a mistake, you're not going to be out there next shift or maybe next game. So you start thinking too far down the road when you're on that short of a leash. He's got great skill, great speed, great ability. You know, I think he's got to spend some time with Kirill Marchenko, who learned when Dean Evason got here that more is expected away from the puck, and you can't just kind of sit back and wait for your teammates to get it. You have to go get it yourself and maybe show that you can battle and win battles and show yourself that too. But so he's not always put in that position. You know, it's when you have short shifts and there's a lot of changing going on, when you get on the ice and you get going and there's a whistle and it's been 14 seconds on the ice and then you're off because another line's out there to try to create the attack or strategy. That's tough. There's no rhythm of the game. So, you know, you can look at examples from all over any team and go back to our team last year with Damon Severson at 14 minutes. You know, he's an 18, 21 minute guy. That's a big difference. That means that he's not thinking when he knows he's going back over the boards the next shift when he plays 21 minutes and he knows he's a part of the team and he feels important. Well, right now, Chinnikov doesn't feel important at all. It's a terrible situation to be in. You know, if you're going to lean into this guy, you got to lean in. You got to give him 10 games and be like, you're going to be on this line and this is what you're going to do and we're going to work with you through it. And, you know, okay, you didn't battle in that position in this game. We'd like to see a little more work with him. Not say, show us, okay, it's not working, you're out again. Because that's not using his potential or what he can bring to the team, in my opinion.
Well, let's talk about Mr. Consistency, and that is Zach Werenski. He gets another goal last night with that goal. He hits 400 points in his NHL career. Of course, they've all been with the Blue Jackets. And he becomes only the third player in the 25 years of the history of the franchise to get 400 or more points. He's behind just Cam Atkinson, who's going to catch pretty soon. And Rick Nash is the other guy who he will eventually catch, I think, the way if he continues to play at the pace that he's playing right now. But he does it as a defenseman, right? And he and Boone Jenner were kind of neck and neck. Boone's out of the lineup now, and, you know, Zach's picking up his points. But what an accomplishment, isn't it, for Zach Werenski to be on that list in that spot right now?
Yeah, and we're so lucky to be able to watch this guy every day and every night, you know, practicing in games and watch him grow into a leader last year. Mike Sullivan, head coach of the New York Rangers, was in town this week. He is going to be the head coach of the U.S. Olympic team. And he was asked about Zach Werenski, and he said, you know, his skates, he lines up as a defenseman on the scorecard. He goes, but I don't know if we have a title for his position. And then he went, talked himself into the idea that, oh yeah, he's a rover, you know, like what Torch used to call him. And that's his position. And he's such a threat. He can break the puck out on his own. He kills a play by himself with a stick. Guys want to be on the ice with him. He sees the ice. The whole ice, almost like he's above the ice watching in that type of view, which I can't even imagine what that is like now that I'm a broadcaster, I guess. Maybe he's a little lower than we are at times, closer to the ice. But, yeah, he is a guy that, you know, everyone knows who Zach Werenski is now, second in Norris Trophy voting last year for top defenseman in the National Hockey League. He's in the conversation now every single year. He's going to play on the U.S. Olympic team. The points will come, but he does so much more. You know, he does so much more, and he could do so much more if he was just out there with the top players of the game, the top line, the Marchenko line, you know, but he's asked to do other things. And you see him last night out there with, Lundestrom and Dell Belews and that line who's trying to get going. And, you know, they're excited to be out there with them and have him as another forward out there in a sense. But, you know, he spreads it around. He's a guy that wants to win. He wants to will this team and bring this team to the playoffs and beyond. And he's the guy. You have to have a guy like that, and it's a luxury to have a guy like that. I mean, we've talked around here about not having a number one center for a long time. That was a discussion. You know, now the middle looks pretty good. But to have a number one D, that's a number one D. And most teams don't have a number one D. There's only a few of them. And, boy, it's who knows where he ends up on the all-time scoring list.
The other thing about him is take him off the ice. And even talking about the points and where he is in the franchise history, he's so humble. And, you know, he talks about the longevity of playing here now for 10 years. He talks about other players that he has played with. And all of that is true. But quite frankly, he does a lot of that himself.
Oh, yeah. No, he does. And last year, we talked about it. You know, Boone Jenner goes out in camp. They had such a tragedy of the year that no one knew what or how or to deal with. And, you know, the leadership group was shattered a little bit, you know, with Gudbranson not there, too. And Zach put himself in a position to put himself on notice and grab this team and do things and say things that he's otherwise maybe thought but not said to his teammates, and just took the reins and ran with it. And I think that's a huge part of his evolution. And yeah, off the ice, I mean, there's no better person. He's got time to talk about whatever you want to talk about at any time, game day, off day, whatever. So an excellent example of a true pro in this best league in the world.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. Well, we're going to have another true pro coming up here in just a moment, because this past weekend was a 25th anniversary celebration game for the Blue Jackets. There were a lot of guys that were back: Matt Calvert, Brandon Dubinsky, David Viborni, Aaron Johnson, but Mark Denis was also in town. And coming up, you're going to hear a conversation I had with Mark about being a Blue Jacket once again. But right now, I want to tell you it is almost time to do your Christmas shopping, and you can give the gift of Blue Jackets hockey with the holiday gift pack presented by Homage. You get 2 tickets to 2 games of your choice and an exclusive Homage shirt, all starting at just $109. Get yours by going to BlueJackets.com /holiday. More of the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank coming up here on 97.1 The Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now,
just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon.
Even if this promo is playing in the morning.
No judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
Delaware County.
Some journeys start small. With small paws and big purpose.
Look how little you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Like a girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Sports used to be about calling up your favorite host and saying how stupid they are. Good news. We still do that. The Fan Call-In Show.
Hello.
Sponsored by ESPN Bet at Hollywood Casino.
Sunday mornings at 8 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Bright skies, light winds, and a nice finish on this Wednesday. Enjoy. Temperatures in the low 50s. Overnight, down to the low 40s with more clouds. Temperatures back in the mid-50s on Thursday, dry with plenty of clouds around. Showers arrive late Friday. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation?
Good news.
It's Hockey O'Clock.
It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott with Jody Shelley, and a 25th anniversary celebration was held last weekend when the Blue Jackets took on the New York Rangers. Many players were back. One of those, goaltender Mark Denis. I had a chance to catch up with Mark. But Jody, before we hear this interview, tell me what you remember about being a teammate with Mark Denis.
He was so much fun. He's a guy that really was locked into this business, polished. You'll hear in the interview, he's still very polished. He does an excellent job on RDS to cover the Montreal Canadiens. And I just remember him always loving to work hard, but always having time for a good laugh. You know, he enjoyed being around his teammates. We traveled together and treated everyone so well. And he's still got a lot of really good connections back in the Columbus area. So it was nice to see him come back for, he was there for 4 or 5 days because we ended up playing the Montreal Canadiens on that Monday. So he came in, I think, Wednesday or Thursday and really got to see the area. And nice to see a guy like that who appreciated being a part of the Columbus Blue Jackets organization, as they all do. But he really still has a big heart and a big soft spot for the area and the organization.
Yeah, as you mentioned, he is a broadcaster now. He does the French broadcast for the Montreal Canadiens. So I got together with him, and the first thing I asked him is, what was it like to be back here as a player once again?
It was tremendous. You know, it's back to this organization's roots. It's back to me going from, you know, trying to make it to the league to be a number one goalie and to play every night. It's coming back home to where our sons were born, seeing friends and former teammates, definitely the highlights. I mean, the people that make this special are the highlight of the weekend. And I all got to see a pretty good hockey game. Able to stick around because Montreal is coming into town a little later after that weekend. So, you know, all in all, everything was pretty good, very positive over the weekend. And, you know, I've had the very good fortune of coming back every season for work as a Habs broadcaster, but to come back as a Blue Jacket was something special.
What do you remember the most about the early time here? I mean, as you said, you're a rookie looking to establish yourself. You eventually do that. But at the very beginning, what was it like for you?
The people is what I remember the most. There's no doubt that made it special. Teammates. But also just, you know, you're out to get respect every single night. The respect which I think this organization now has throughout the NHL in the last quarter century now. And obviously, you're chasing success. We weren't able to have playoff games in the first 6 years that I was here, but never played in front of an empty seat. we went past the honeymoon phase and still you could tell that this was going to be a, everybody knew it was a good sports market, sports town. It's a hockey town now. And I love how this organization has thrived. The building still looks great. This is a very good scenario for Central Ohio and everything that the McCullough family has been able to bring here.
In the first 25th anniversary night of the season, Ron Tugnutt was here.
Yeah.
And we talked a lot about his role early on. And part of that was mentoring you and helping you to get acclimated to being a starting goalie in the NHL. What things do you remember about that partnership that you and Ron had and the friendship that you have?
Yeah. Partnership and friendship is right. A healthy competition for ice time, no doubt, but he was a veteran player. I understood that, especially in the first year, he would get the major part of the starts, and it was up to me to compete to get some more ice time. He was very gracious when I would get more starts. But as he said, you know, just to, he had been through thick and thin, had been number one goalie, had been a backup, was now a veteran in the NHL. And to worry about what you control and what you can worry and not waste energy on anything else, I think that came in very handy in years where I played, you know, 77 and 65 games. Felt like you're playing every night. If you're worrying about all the noise, you're not going to make it. So definitely learned that. Just the way he would get ready for games taught me a lot. And how to interact with your teammates. Because especially back in these days, I think we're looking towards a 50-50 split a lot more in the NHL nowadays. But back then, you're a part of your team's identity when you're the starting goalie. So that relationship with your teammates, especially your defensive core, was really important. So a lot of that I learned from Tugger.
And it sounds to me like you couldn't have had a better guy to help you break into the league.
He was tremendous. And as great a season, the first one that he had for us, he understood that I do believe that this organization and myself wanted me to compete for more ice time. It takes a special athlete to be able to recognize that as well. So I couldn't ask for a better mentor. You're right.
You mentioned one year you played 77, you played 65. 77 is unbelievable, especially as you alluded to in today's game. They're getting closer to 60-40. Like, did you even think about it at the time, or did you just come to work expecting to play every day?
I had no time to think about it. I was just playing night in and night out. A little bit of pride in doing so, being the easternmost Western Conference team as well. Every road game was a time change, except for Detroit. It took a toll, but what I would give to be 25 again and be able to play all these games. So no, I didn't have time to reflect and think. I do believe that doubt is the goaltender's biggest enemy. So not to have any doubt about ice time was tremendous as well. And, I don't think we're going to see 77 games anytime soon, especially with the trend nowadays, but just a tremendous experience. And how to manage ebbs and flows of a rigorous NHL season.
How did you handle it on the other side? Because if you're playing 77, that means somebody else is playing in five.
Yeah.
And so you're still trying to balance that competitive relationship and a friendship with your backup.
Yeah. And you know what? I wish I played those five. I wanted to play every single night, but JF LeBay was tremendous. He was my biggest fan. This is back in the day where the goaltending coach weren't there 100% of the time, full time. So you almost act like a goalie coach when you're the backup for JF, who didn't have a long NHL career, but had a long pro career. You know, for him, it was a taste of the NHL and he was very good. Funny enough, we had a relationship from earlier on winning the Calder Cup together in Hershey way early in my career. And now, you know, roles were reversed and, you know, he was tremendous for me, but this organization was awesome.
Tonight on the Inside Edge, I'm talking with former Blue Jackets goaltender Mark Denis, who was in town for the 25th anniversary celebration last weekend. Our conversation continues right after this as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
Monday starts up a pretty big week. Gobble, gobble, and all that crap. Let's focus on what really matters. Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
The Fan.
It's 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm the innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to.
preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week is getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
T-Bone and Tybus.
Could you imagine being a college kid and getting a Venmo for $1 million? I'd shed tears. I cry.
Oh, I
T-Bone and Tybus Mornings on the Fan is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott with Jody Shelley. Tonight, Mark Denis, former Blue Jackets goaltender who was in town last weekend for the 25th anniversary celebration night, is joining the show. And Mark, you talked about the fact that you're working for French TV now. You follow the Montreal Canadiens. So unlike any of the other guys that have come back this week, you have a different perspective on things. You're around it every day.
Yeah.
I don't have to ask you, do you still pay attention to what the Blue Jackets do? It's your job to do it. What do you think of the NHL today? And just especially you're working for Montreal.
Yeah.
Wide open, high flying kind of a team. As a former goalie, you probably cringe sometimes.
I don't know if I could keep up. The game is so fast. The puck moves fast. Player move fast. They can all execute. There is no one. There's no anchor weighing down that pace of play. Everybody from the first guy, you know, the leader on a team to the healthy scratches are all tremendous NHL players. There's depth like there never was before at the NHL level. So the game is fast. The game is entertaining. I think it has evolved. But it's still a matter of winning one-on-one battles throughout the ice to let the talent come to the forefront. Talented teams won't get by in the NHL. You need to win the one-on-one battles to have the puck, and you need to have the puck to let the talent speak. And I think this applies to the Blue Jackets as well. Young, talented teams that need to figure out their true DNA to be able to be successful on a consistent basis. And I think those two teams are a little bit on the same path. Last year, I mean, both teams being really close, one making the playoffs and the other one just on the outside looking in.
Are you one of those guys that ever looks at the game and says, this guy could have never played in my era?
I think it's the other way around. I think there's a lot of guys in our era that couldn't play nowadays. It was different. It was different because, you know, the physicality was different. It wasn't as fast. It wasn't as hard, but it felt like you couldn't really look at your execution. You had to execute and move away or else you were getting hit. There was a lot of clutching and grabbing. So sometimes you see frustration in those players nowadays. You're like, they would have spent the whole game being frustrated back then. So I think I love where the game is at. I'm not one of those veteran players that says, it was way better in my time. I wish I made more money and this and that. I love being around the game. I'm passionate. I don't know if you could tell, but I'm passionate about the game.
I can tell. I can't believe the Blue Jackets and Canadians won't play again until late March, and then again in April.
Yeah.
Those are the next two games. So, hey, those games might have tremendous impact on what happens in the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely. There's opportunity for both teams to be part of the playoff picture, and hopefully they still are, both in March and April. Maybe they're already in and we're not talking about it, but the odds are, I mean, if, you know, looking at the Montreal Canadiens qualifying for the playoffs in game 82 last season, odds are that these games are going to be very important. So definitely looking forward to that. As I said, I think these two teams are on very similar paths. Great on the Blue Jackets to be able to get through the challenges and adversity that the offseason before brought. And to have that success now transferred to the ice. And the Montreal Canadiens is a little bit the same. A little younger team, but very talented, highly entertaining hockey. And I hope we still get that throughout the season.
Well, I got to tell you, it was great to see you in that Blue Jackets jersey on Saturday night. Standing out there on the ice, it just looked right, actually. So it was awesome. I'm glad you got to experience that. Glad you got to spend some time with friends. And thank you for taking time for me today. It's always great to talk to you, Mark.
Thank you for having me on, Bob.
So, Jody, it was interesting to get his perspective as a broadcaster now. As he said, I'm lucky to come here every year and cover games, but he appreciated so much in being here as a Blue Jacket once again. And again, as we talked about, here's a guy that one year played 77 games.
Incredible, right?
It's not going to happen.
Unthinkable. No, it's not. Yeah. I mean, he,
he was a competitor, and you can tell just he's got a lot of he knows the organization, he knows the team. So, you know, when you do talk about a team you played for as a broadcaster, I know there's a little bit extra love in there, you know, and a little bit extra concern, or you pay more attention and you understand kind of the fabric of what's happening here. And hey, you know, it's a hardworking team, and he understands the community, so he can say that with a lot of authority and a lot of kind of passion behind it, when he understands what this team means to the community, what it's like to be on the ice for this, for, in this community, and wear that jersey. And you know, he also understands that there's more to give here. So great to hear him and have him back in town.
It was great to have David Viboni back in town, yeah, too, right? He hadn't been in Columbus in 10 years. He's funny because he's kind of a soft-spoken guy. He doesn't say a lot, but when he does say things, he's a fantastic entertainer.
He's hilarious. I did not get to catch up with him and Irina and Mikey. And I tried to do it a couple times, but they were only at the games. Then they were touring around town. But he's a guy I owe a phone call to. He was an awesome teammate. Him and Rusty Klesla, two guys from the same country, the Czech Republic. And, you know, he is a funny guy. David Viboni, nothing gets past him. He would stop me in the locker room sometimes and be like, ask me like, why are we doing this, or what is this, or what are you doing, you know, and just kind of like keep everything on a straight and narrow path. And he was a legend for his stick. I mean, I remember trying to use his stick a couple times. It was back when the wooden sticks were still around. He would torch those things up. He would go through the stick bin, so the wooden sticks would show up, and I would see him in the stick room looking at the curve, and he'd be just firing them. If he didn't like it, he'd be just firing to his left like they're garbage. I'm like, David, he goes, no, I have to put an extra curve. I have to heat them up and curve them a little better. It was a wicked heel curve with a huge paddle. I don't know how he was such a magician with that stick.
And it's funny, too, when you look at even the numbers when he first came over, he had to earn trust with Dave King. He had to work his way into the lineup, which is almost fascinating to say when you see where he still ranks amongst some of the franchise leaders in points. You would think that he just plopped in from day one, but that's not how it was.
Oh, yeah, you have to go back and remember. That's right. He was a skilled forward from Europe that was part of a new team and had to find his way to adapt to the North American game, which when he first got here, the clutching and grabbing was off the charts. There was no room for, you know, a guy that size and that stature with that amount of skill had to find a way to survive a shift and then break open to make plays. Highly intelligent, fun to play with. I got to be with him a few times on the same line. He would giggle. He would just giggle.
Well, how did you get on that line?
I don't know. It must have been a mistake. It was very briefly. Sometimes in practice, he would just giggle. We'd have fun. I mean, I have enough skill to bump him the puck, I guess. Scrape it over to him. But just a fun guy to be around.
Well, that's not true. I remember back in Johnstown, you played second line.
Oh, I should have been on the first line, but I was on the first power play. Thanks, Bob.
And, you know, the other guys that were there, it was great to see Matt Calvert come back into town. Brandon Dubinsky, of course, lives in Columbus now and comes around quite a bit. But Matt Calvert, I think when you're looking at the 25-year history of this team and you want to say, give me a guy that epitomizes what you want to be as a franchise, I mean, that guy pops into my mind. I told him, we had the luncheon, and I said, if somebody were to come to me and say, what kind of NHL player was Matt Calvert, I'd pull out the picture of you with your head bandaged and blood on it, and I'd say, that's your guy right there.
I mean, the theme of Civil War for the Blue Jackets, I mean, it just all lines up. We thought we wouldn't see him again after that sequence in that game that he got hurt. And he came out, not only did he come back with a bandage on his head, I couldn't imagine being in the trainer's room and they're like, we're just going to wrap this around your head. Or maybe he said, just wrap it up. I'm going back out. And he scores a goal.
Yeah, he told me, he said that Mike Vogt, the trainer, said, are you sure you want to go out looking like that? And he goes, just give my helmet. Let's go.
I mean, that's a real hockey player right there. Just taking the punishment, saying, okay, I can still help the team, and then going out there and doing it. I love the way he challenged players. Remember he fought Rick Nash?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was a guy that was heart and soul for every second he was on the ice for the Blue Jackets. Great to have him back. And I didn't get to play with Matt, but he was a guy I always enjoyed being around.
Yeah, and he will forever live in infamy for the double overtime goal in Pittsburgh, the first playoff win in franchise history. You mentioned the fight that he had with Rick Nash. And again, Brandon Dubinsky, I talked with him about this. He had that huge goal against the Penguins to tie that game late at Nationwide Arena that eventually Nick Foligno won in overtime. So it's great to relive some of these things. But I like when you get a David Vaborni. I was talking about this the other day because this franchise has been around for 25 years, but there are some fans that, for them, the franchise starts, I think, in the Matt Calvert, Brandon Dubinsky era, because when the team started to consistently win and make the playoffs, it got more attention then.
Yeah, it definitely did. And, well, you just think about the brightest moments as far as playoffs. You know, that was that era, the Torts era. And then when you look at what happened before that with Dave King, Gerard Gallant, Ken Hitchcock, Doug McLean. There was a lot of good things built here with our fans in the community and the players that were started here. A lot of character people were here to start this organization. And I think that was a smart way to lay the foundation for the first 25 years, because the guys coming in the door immediately had the understanding that there was a true connection from player to fan to community and back the other way, that was a part of this responsibility of wearing the Blue Jackets uniform. So, you know, those are all important people in this legacy of the first quarter century. And I think that when you see these guys come back and you hear their stories, it's such an important part of what this Blue Jackets organization is about. And our alumni, I mean, it's growing every year. And every player you see on the ice right now will be a Blue Jackets alumni at some point. And right now, we have 15 local alumni, and it's growing. And so it's an exciting and an important part of the legacy of what was and what is to become for this team. So it's been a special year, and it's been very nice to see these guys. I say appreciation, because there is a true appreciation for being included and remembered as they were as players in this city and this as a Blue Jackets member.
And some of them have played for other franchises, some before they were ever a Blue Jacket, but that appreciation is very evident when they come in for these 25th anniversary celebrations. So we look forward to the next one that is coming up next month. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk about the upcoming game for the Blue Jackets tomorrow night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Where is this team right now? A little bit of a mess. We'll talk about that and some other things around the league as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
2003 Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
First morning juice, real football talk. Just two guys who aren't afraid to say what needs to be said.
And that's how she wrote.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Now streaming mornings on YouTube and 10TV Plus. Attack and dominate. Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Well, coming up next week, there are two fantastic games at Nationwide Arena. The first one is going to be on Wednesday. Day before Thanksgiving, the Toronto Maple Leafs will be in town. The day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the Pittsburgh Penguins will be there. Both of those games get underway at 7 o'clock. It's going to be harder to find a more exciting week at Nationwide Arena than the Maple Leafs and the Penguins in a span of 3 days. Get your tickets by going to BlueJackets.com. We're getting ready to wrap up this edition of the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Jody, the Blue Jackets take on the Maple Leafs tomorrow night here in Toronto before that game next week at Nationwide Arena. This might be a good time to catch this team. I know that they have been struggling. They've got a lot of injuries. Last night they played. They went to overtime against St. Louis before they got a win, but they are looking for answers right now, and they're having a hard time finding them.
Yeah, they are, and they are dealing with major injuries. Their captain, Austin Matthews, is out right now. Tanev, their shot-blocking key defenseman, is out. Their number one goalie, or he was to start the season, with Wall taking a personal leave. Stolarz, he is out. They've got eight guys on the shelf, and that's hard to deal with, let alone the subtraction of their best player, Mitch Marner. I mean, he covered up a lot, not only getting 100 points, he covered up a lot for that team. And so right now they're going through it. And Craig Berube, I mean, they record his passionate chatter to his team in practice, and it's everything's a story here. So it's a team that's expected to not only make the playoffs, now they're trying to make them a bigger, stronger team for the Florida Panthers, you know, if they meet them in the first round. And right now they're struggling to play defense. So they're not getting the save, and everything is under a microscope. So it is a good time to be here, I think, because especially when Austin Matthews, he's not going to be back tomorrow night, it sounds like.
That's not what Brad Treliving said yesterday with the GM when he met with the media.
He came out and talked about his team and said they lacked, or they were vanilla.
Yes.
And what that means is he's got big boys that are in here that are just trying to play hockey. I think the Blue Jackets went through that during their first few games that they lost here to start the season, where everyone was just playing hockey. I think we talked about that on this show, where you have to have that emotion to win the puck, the determination to win a puck or win a battle. And they played last night, the Maple Leafs, and they came out and they hit everything. They were just, I think Berube said, forget about the puck. Let everyone know you're here, especially the Lawrence line. Dakota Joshua is one of the players that came in here. He played at Ohio State, big guy, had an excellent season, past couple of seasons out in Vancouver. You know, they want him to play bigger. They're lacking a little bit of personality, and I think that every team that does that, it's just kind of finding their ways on the wrong side of the game. So as good as it is a time to be here, I think the urgency is extremely high. They still have Nylander, who's been a magician for them, and John Tavares is having a great year again, former captain of this team. So it's always fun to be here, though, because this is one of those teams that everyone loves to beat. Like, when you get to Toronto, you've got Adam Fantilli, who's from the area. Luca Delbel-Belouz is from the area. You know, Boone Jenner's not in the lineup. Remember the game he had here a couple of years ago where he willed the team back to a victory? There's a little extra jump in your step when you
play. Jay Greaves had his first NHL start here.
Yeah.
And he's from here.
He's from here. There's a little extra jump in your step when you can take down the Maple Leafs at home. It's just there's a little more satisfaction to it. So I'm excited for this one.
And then after the game in Toronto, you got to go to Detroit for a Saturday afternoon game. And the Detroit Red Wings, have they finally figured it out under Steve Yzerman? They moved into first place with their win last night. Look, they're very talented, and they have been talented. I think the goaltending situation over the last couple of years has not helped them. They go out, they get John Gibson during the summer this year. Are they the real thing?
It appears so. I mean, but it's so close. Everything is so close right now still. I mean, no one is out of the picture besides maybe the Calgary Flames out west. I like the way that Todd McClellan, grabbed this team early. I think it was two losses in a row, and he just came out and stomped them and said, this isn't about what hasn't happened here. This is about getting, what are you going to do now? And whipped them back into kind of the mindset of, the woe is me is over. And Larkin is having a good year. DeBrincat is one of those dynamic players. Seems like everybody's slotted very well. They play a good team defense. They've waited for the young players to grow. And they picked up, you know, they get the number one pick in that draft that was in Columbus, Patrick Kane, and the number two pick that was a former Blue Jacket, James Van Riemsdyk, goes in there. And, you know, they got some good leadership. So I think that's, and they're slotted where they should be. So, yeah, I like them. I like the goaltending is 80% of everything you want to do or more. You know, you have to have the save. And I think the teams that don't have it, you look at San Jose, you talk about Celebrini and what they got going on out there. Their goaltending is a little better too. So they're collecting wins. And any team that's struggling is getting not getting the save on the penalty kill or not getting the save at the key moment of the game. And that's the difference. That's the margin in this league right now.
You brought up San Jose. I still can't believe they got that Askarov kid from.
Oh, I know what a get.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Smart.
Yeah. I mean, he demands a trade. He doesn't want to play in the minors. And so Nashville deals him, and he ends up going there. And, you know, at the time you're going, Well, so what? He's going to a team that's sitting at the bottom of the league, but that's not going to last long with those guys they've acquired.
Well, and look at Chicago.
Yep.
Surprising. Look at Pittsburgh. You know, goaltending's better.
Yeah.
You can have the superstars get highlights and get points. And like Bedard the last couple of years, he's getting points, but they're losing games. It's discouraging to lose games when it's, you know, the defensive zone isn't been played right, or there's no commitment to D and then the save isn't there. I'm not blaming everything on goaltending, but I'm saying when you do have it, it makes everything a little bit better and you have a chance in every game to win it.
You absolutely do. And everybody's looking for it.
Bold statement.
That's right. Absolutely. That's what they're all looking for. All right, Jody, thanks. Enjoy the rest of your time here in Toronto.
All right, man. Yeah, it's great to be back in Canada. And seems like we've been here for the whole month.
Yeah, it actually does. There's no doubt about that. All right, that's going to do it for the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Blue Jackets and the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starts on both radio and TV at 6:30 tomorrow. It was great to catch up with former goaltender Mark Denis tonight. For Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long. And thanks for listening to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan.
He spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus, The Fan.
Other and want to win for the city of Cleveland. Like, it's never been higher since I've been here.
This is the Cleveland Browns Preview Show. This is your chance to get an in-depth preview of the week ahead in Berea. The Cleveland Browns Preview Show is presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of the Cleveland Browns. This is the University Hospital's Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
This is your Central Ohio home of the Browns, 97.1 The Fan, featuring 14 hours of live programming daily, starting with T-Bone and Tyvus, weekday mornings from 6 to 9. They like football and food and fun, all the F words. Yes, that one too. Your heritage sports talker and home of the Buckeyes, Blue Jackets, Reds, and Browns. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Here are your hosts, Ken Carmen and Gerard Cherry.
And away we go to a Week 12 matchup as your Cleveland Browns hit the road yet again. This time, they head out west to Viva Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium, a 4:05 p.m. kickoff with the Las Vegas Raiders. Good evening, friends. Ken Carmen alongside of Gerard Cherry. It's time to preview it on the Cleveland Browns Preview Show, presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of your Cleveland Browns. Gerard, good evening to you, my friend.
Good evening, Kenneth.
Well, you've been a road warrior this week. It's good to have you back home and ready to go. I know you love the action, but it's time for some NFL action. It's time for Four Downs.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Browns.
All right, first down, here we go. Well, recapping a Sunday loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Otherworldly from this defense, Gerard. Otherworldly. I mean, it's a championship-level defense. Just wasn't enough to hang on. Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, they combined for just 115 yards passing in that game. What do you think was the catalyst of what confused? And I know, hey, there was an injury. Shedeur had to be put into play in the second half. What do you think what it was that the Ravens did to confuse the Browns back on Sunday evening?
I think this is what you always do when you have rookie quarterbacks out there, Ken. You show them one thing and do something else, and you put a lot of pressure on them. You never allow them to get comfortable, and you do that by blitzing and just making sure also that your pass rush with four men down are getting the job done as well. So they just did a phenomenal job of that, and Dylan and Shedeur never really got a chance to get comfortable, and they really upped the ante in the second half when Shedeur stepped on the football field and pretty much constantly putting pressure on him, bringing someone or showing the blitz. So that's exactly what you do. That's football 101. You have an experienced player out there, You make their job extremely difficult from a pre-snap read standpoint, and post-snap, you bring the pain.
It's time for second down.
Second down.
Shador Sanders officially going to be making his first career NFL start this coming Sunday in Las Vegas. What sort of spark can he provide to this offense, Gerard? I got a couple other questions for you, but let's start off with Shador. What can he do with this offense?
From an emotional standpoint, I think the spark is just having someone new out there to see if they can give you a sense and feel that, hey, there's energy out here and hope that we can get the job done because we haven't been able to score points on the offensive ball line, on the offensive side of the ball, rather. And what has that done? That's pretty much triggered a situation where defense, to a certain point, gets to a place where it's like, okay, when are we going to actually get some complimentary football? And the special teams obviously needs to do what it does. But also, too, Ken, from a X's and O's standpoint, I think it also opens up the opportunity for you to go vertical with your passing attempts because, one, Shador is willing to do it, and, two, he showed those missed opportunities that he's capable of throwing accurate passes deep. So that's going to certainly help the cause as well. And ultimately, if you do have a passing game working for you, that's going to free up our best player on the offensive side of the ball, and that's putting Sean Judkins in that he won't face 9 and 8 and 9 and sometimes 11 men in the box.
You're right about that. I got another question to ask you about him in just a moment. However, we did get some good news on the injury front today. Only limited was Jack Conklin with that knee injury. Also, Cam Robinson. Boy, it looked like a nasty injury back on Sunday against the Ravens, but he was limited today. How much could that mean for Shador Sanders? I know that he has that problem drifting to the left and to the right, but how much do you think that that could mean to have those two bookends there for him?
Well, the assumption is that those guys are starting for a reason. If you have your better players, though they're dealing with injury out there, that should help the cause. And ultimately, too, Ken, you want to get to a space where continuity is helping you as well, because the benefit and the advantage that you always have is when you keep the same guys together, that there's rapport there and there's familiarity, and that helps with protections. That helps with communication. When they are blitzing, okay, I know he's going to do this. I know where sense and feel where he's going to be at as far as the offensive line is concerned. Obviously, these guys are all going to be new to Shador Sanders being the signal caller. But with that being said, having your best guys out there could only help his cause against a Raiders team who, again, they're middle of the road defensively, but certainly you want your best guys out there.
All right, Gerard, how do you go about the business of getting Shador comfortable? I thought he was very uncomfortable in the third quarter, definitely settled down there in the final drive, late fourth quarter. How do you go about getting him comfortable from the very beginning? How important is that play script at the beginning of the game for him as well?
Well, first and foremost, pick up the blitzes. If you have blitz protection, you're the third, you're the running back in there, make sure you pass correctly. For the linemen, make sure that you switch off and don't get glued to one guy and understand that they're going to loop around and come late because they're counting on the fact that they don't think our secondary or our receivers can get away from their secondary. So those are the things that you have to consider because it all fits together, and that's the part that we need to understand. The pass pro is going to have to, again, come through, because if it doesn't come through, I don't care if you have Tom Brady back there, you're not going to have success. So that will help, and then just call things he's comfortable with, Ken. And I thought about this after watching the Cowboys play against the Raiders. Dak Prescott is very, well, I should give Dak his respect. Shador has a very similar game like Dak Prescott in that they perform in drop-back passing game. They're not known for moving outside the pocket. They have the ability to do it, but they're more effective in the pocket. So really, I would look at that game plan that the Cowboys cooked up against the Raiders because it obviously worked and take some of those concepts because the Raiders had major trouble guarding those plays. Now, granted, the receivers and offensive line helped their end of the bargain, but I would say copy that and just do things that put Shador in a position where the ball spread out enough with the formations to where guys aren't close together in proximity, forcing the reads to be even more challenging and really forcing the defense, once the ball is snapped, to declare where they're going to be at in their zone drops or in their man coverage. That's one of the ways you can truly help them is just by spreading things out.
Time for third down.
Third down.
Another outrageous day for Myles Garrett. 4 sacks against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. He's on pace for over 25 sacks this season. You're still 7 games to go left in this football season. It would shatter the single season record of 22.5. Right now he's at 15 overall. Is this the best football you've ever seen him play?
Oh, that's a heck of a question. And I'm torn, Ken, because it's been absolutely amazing. But I think back to the time where he, against the Colts, when he jumped over the long snapper, blocked the play, and then did another incredible play to essentially win us that game. That was some of the best football I've ever seen outside of T.J. Watt when he came to town and destroyed us. But it's right up there. But if he pulls off another week of this, then I would have to say yes, because seeing a guy get 9 sacks in the span of, what, 3 games, that's insane.
I think it's been incredible. Again, otherworldly was the word that was used for the defense in general back on Sunday against Baltimore. But I think for him, it's just been almost indescribable. We're watching the best player in the franchise's history on defense right now. He's turning it into old hat, is what he's doing. It's almost where you get used to having 2-plus sacks in a football game for this guy. And you can't say enough about what he's doing. However, didn't win Defensive Player of the Week there. And I'm starting to wonder, is it almost the LeBron effect, Gerard, where it's like, all right, you're just going to kind of pass it around to other people? Because if you're talking about most valuable player, it's like, okay, LeBron was always going to be the most valuable player, because what were the Cavaliers without LeBron? What were the Lakers? What were the Heat without LeBron? And now you're sitting there going, boy, look at this defense. And the rest of the defense is very good. You got really good football players there. But I almost think that some of the voters around the league, do they start to take what he's doing for granted, Myles Garrett?
Yeah, I think so. In a weird way, it's almost like it's devaluing the position, in that he's doing so great, but the team is struggling. Therefore, you're not going to give it its credit. You're not going to give it its hype that it's due, because this is insane what he's doing. He's flirting with shattering the single-season record for sacks. And so put that in its proper perspective. Because we're losing, that's why he's not getting the accolades and attention that he so rightfully deserves, due to the fact that, again, the defense, no one will deny it, they're playing at a playoff championship level.
Time for fourth down.
Fourth down.
And it's time to meet the Las Vegas Raiders. 2-8, fourth in the AFC West. Pete Carroll, in his first year, of course, he's 19 years in as a head coach. 172-128-1 overall as a head coach. Has a Super Bowl championship as well. Last meeting the Browns had against the Raiders last year in Vegas, Las Vegas won that game 20-16. Offensively, they are very rough themselves. 30th overall, 30th in rushing, 25th in passing. And then you got Geno Smith, and he has certainly struggled here over the last few weeks. Geno Smith right now, 66.3% in completions, 2,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. He's got to clean that up. This is one of the best defenses that he's going to face all year, maybe the best defense he's going to face all year. The Browns have some opportunity coming up on Sunday afternoon, Gerard.
Yeah, they certainly do. And when you think about what Geno's doing, the 13 INTs to the 12 touchdowns, that's not going to get the job done. So you wonder at what point are they going to put Kenny Pickett in? At what point does he get the opportunity? Because Geno is obviously struggling.
You can call me anything you want. You know that. Just not late for dinner. Hey-o. All right. Getting ready for this Vegas football team. Defensively, Max Crosby leads the team in sacks with 6. Devin White, he's been good for him as well. How do you go about keeping Max Crosby away from your rookie?
Good luck, because, again, six sacks in a year, that's not going to, again, give you much attention. But we know what Max Crosby's capable of doing. So with that being said, the thought is that tandem blocks are going to come into play, because he is their most viable threat from a defensive pass rush standpoint. And then if I am the Raiders, I'm doing exactly what the Ravens did. I am bringing the house every chance I get, with multiple guys with twist stunts, delays, and everything else, you and me games and everything along the lines that you can do from a defensive front to confuse and attack an offensive line that's inconsistent with his pass protection, and along with the backs that are back there with him. So that's what you're going to see. And again, that can free Max Crosby up to make some plays for sure.
University Hospitals Rainbow Babies and Children's is here for you from their first checkup to their first big game, providing nationally recognized care in your own neighborhood. Visit uhrainbow.org to learn more. Coming up in a bit, we'll go around the league. Gerard and I will take you, and play-by-play voice Andrew Siciliano will join us to preview this game coming up against the Raiders on Sunday. But up next, a real treat. Local man done good, Rex Sunohara, Browns long snapper from Bay High School. He joins us on the show as we get you ready for the Browns and the Las Vegas Raiders. You're listening to the Cleveland Browns Preview Show, presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of your Cleveland Browns, on the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
Traditions are a game changer. Traditions have the power to turn a simple moment into a memory, bring a whole city together. They're even what inspires us to make our masa in Tostitos the traditional way, starting with whole corn kernels, no artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. We craft our chips for whatever your tradition is. Tostitos, tradition matters. The official chip and dip sponsor of the Cleveland Browns.
If you're in business in Northeast Ohio, you probably know Minutemen is one of the area's largest staffing providers. But did you know there's much more to Minutemen? Minutemen is the second largest provider of workers' comp solutions in all of Ohio. And Minutemen provides payroll and employee benefits for thousands of businesses, big and small, in all kinds of industries. Since 1968, the Minutemen family of companies has helped businesses like yours thrive by saving time and money. Learn more at MinutemenHR.com.
Browns fans, this month's winner of the Local Business Platform, presented by Minutemen and in association with Medical Mutual, is Housemaster Serving Cleveland. Housemaster Serving Cleveland offers home buyer inspections in the greater Cleveland area. Their home inspections help prospective buyers recognize existing problems, prepare for maintenance, and give them negotiation power to get the best deal possible. Before you call it home, call Housemaster. To learn more about the Local Business Platform, visit clevelandbrowns.com/community/local-business-platform. Minutemen, a proud partner of the Cleveland Browns.
Are you looking for a way to spend quality time with your cat while keeping them hydrated? Inabaturu, the world's number one wet cat treat, is the perfect solution. Made from high-quality ingredients like real chicken and wild-caught tuna, Churu is a high-moisture, low-calorie treat designed to be fed by hand to create a stronger bond between pet parents and their cats. Find Churu products online at inabafoods.com or pick them up today at your local Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
I'm Nathan Zagura, senior media broadcaster and color commentator for the Cleveland Browns. My wife Kayla and I just welcomed our dream baby, Luca, and those first moments together were unforgettable. At University Hospitals, our care team made sure we felt safe, supported, and confident from the first meeting to the moment we finally held him in our arms. Every question we had, they answered. Every step, they included us so we could focus on the joy of meeting our son. They do it for families like mine every day, and they'll do it for yours. With University Hospitals, your first moments together are in the best hands.
Football is all about grit, strength, and resilience. And so is Gregory Industries. For 125 years, Gregory Industries has been the backbone of American manufacturing, delivering steel products that protect, support, and drive progress in construction and safety. Through innovation and roll form precision, Gregory Industries shapes life-saving guardrail systems on our highways and dependable strut, tube, and fence solutions for contractors. Visit GregoryCorp.com to learn more, because America builds with Gregory.
Hey, Browns fans, Crown Royal is a proud partner of the Cleveland Browns. And this season, it's not game day without the generous spirit of Crown Royal. Whether you're at the tailgate, in the stands, or watching from home, Crown Royal is the reason and the reward for coming together. Grab a glass with a Crown Royal rig at a stadium near you, because we'll be sharing the generous spirit with fans across the country. Crown Royal fueling game day with a generous spirit. Visit www.crownroyal.com/royal rig for more on the Crown Royal Rig Tour. Please drink responsibly.
This season, Meijer and Browns Give Back are teaming up with a community initiative called Field Goals for Good, presented by Meijer, to support hunger relief for veterans right here in Cleveland. Through supporting the Volunteers of America Veterans Resource Center, Meijer and the Browns will make a $500 donation for every successful field goal and a $250 donation for every successful extra point attempt to help fight food insecurity among those who've served our country. Browns fans, every kick counts. Because when the Browns score, our veterans do too. Meijer, official super center of the Cleveland Browns.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Browns Preview Show. The Cleveland Browns Preview Show is presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of the Cleveland Browns. This is the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
Back at Berea, Ken Garman alongside of Gerard Cherry. The Cleveland Browns Preview Show presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of your Cleveland Browns. As the Browns get ready to head west again on the road to take on the Las Vegas Raiders and to preview that game, Rex Sunahara joins us on the show. Rex, thanks for joining us.
Ken, thanks for having me on.
I did not realize this. Can I get it out of the way now?
Of course.
I didn't realize, I said, and Andrew just walked by, so this makes it even awkward. I said that you were going to get traded last year. You reminded me because I forget you're from Bay Village, Ohio.
Yes.
And I remembered why, and I go, no, I didn't. You went, yes, you did. Yes, you said your buddies were sending it to you?
Yeah, all my friends from Bay Village were texting me saying, hey, Ken Carman said you're going to get traded. This is when I was just the backup long snapper, hadn't made my bones in this league or anything, still haven't yet, but it was all my buddies were sending it to me saying, you know, how it was just a very funny thing between me and my friends.
I want to say, and then it took me a minute, and when you said it, because he's like, well, we still had Charlie, and I went, oh my gosh, that's right, I did. And the reason I did is, so Joe was overseas, I was filling in the preseason last year on the sidelines, and you had come down on a punt, and I want to say, did we have the Packers last year? And you just laid the hammer on somebody, and I turned around to Clay Weiss, who's the engineer, go, well, he's good. And I went, what are we going to do? Because we already have Charlie. And then you ended up staying. Charlie's gone on to good things, too. Mm-hmm. So, nobody's upset over this.
Right.
But that's right. My goodness gracious. I forgot. My co-host in the morning had to tell Joe Thomas that he said he wanted him traded right to his face. Oh, and Joe's still one of our very good friends. So hopefully, I got to be careful what I tweet from here on out. Rex, this is year two for you, right?
Correct.
What's it like playing for your hometown team?
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, I was traveling around for a long time trying to just find somewhere that I was going to stick. And, you know, for me to be home, for me to be close to, you know, everyone is the best thing ever. And to play for the team that you grew up rooting for your entire life. I mean, everyone that all of my family is Browns fans. All of my friends are Browns fans. I'm a Browns fan. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's the best.
What's it like being on the road so much? Because you guys barely ever play a home game, it seems. I mean, we're about to have a bunch here coming up soon, but... Yeah. It's like you guys never get the chance to be at home for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where we try to make the best of it, and we show up, we do our job, and, you know, it doesn't matter where it is. And it's been cool to go to all these different places, though, because, you know, I've never been to half of these places before. So it's good to go out and, you know, be in different places and different cities and, you know, just trying to do our best and do our job.
For you, special teams guys are just the best to talk to. Usually you have the best personalities. Who do you think is, out of the three of you, the long snapper, the punter, the kicker, who has the best personality?
Have you guys interviewed Andre?
Not yet.
You should. It's a good time.
Okay.
Ask him about the wind. Ask him about the rain.
The wind and the rain?
Ask him about all that
stuff. Earth, wind, and fire?
Oh, yeah.
He can answer all those things?
He'll answer all of it, and it'll be great.
All right. Well, Corey's always a pretty good time, too.
Yeah. Oh, Corey's the best. I mean... Last year, I was, you know, when I came in, it was Charlie was still here, Dustin was here, Corey was here. And to have that group, I mean, because Corey was the youngest guy, and Corey was in year 7 at that point. So now, I mean, he's a true professional. He's a great leader for our group. And, you know, getting to come to work every day and work alongside Corey is the best.
What's it like to live your life upside down? Being able to, you know, look, that's what I say, because you got to look upside down to see where you're aiming at. How do you become a pro long snapper? How does this go down? Because you played at Bay, and then you played at West Virginia. How did you fall into this?
So,
or did you set out for it?
I honestly just kind of picked it up one day. I was at a football camp. My dad used to coach volleyball at the University of Cincinnati, and so I went to a football camp, and they were teaching how to long snap. And I kind of just, like, picked it up and was okay at it. I did it in middle school. And then when I got to high school, I had a coach that told me, like, because I always, like, I never thought of playing in the NFL or even in college at that point. Like, he said, the fastest way you're going to get on the field for playing varsity is long snapping. And so I was like, okay. And then I did that. Luckily, I ended up lettering my sophomore, freshman year as the long snapper at Bay. And then I played other positions and stuff, too. But then it was like, okay, well, I'm not that fast. I don't know if my receiver is going to work out. I can't jump that high, so I don't know if basketball is going to work out. Maybe this long snapping thing will work out. And then that was kind of what made me work at it more, and then was lucky enough to get a scholarship to the University of Rhode Island and then walk on at West Virginia when I transferred, and the rest is kind of history from there.
Rex Sinahara joining us on the show. Well, the weird thing about it is, I mean, you're kind of humble, but you are an athlete. I mean, you're a very large individual. When you, like, I don't know if people notice it on TV. It's like, well, he's really tall and really big. And, like, I wouldn't want to mess with you. And you got to come down on punts. And you got to come on all that stuff. And, I mean, you really got to throw yourself into a lot of these situations against some of the best in the league. I mean, these are some of the best athletes in the world you have to go against.
Yeah, and, I mean, it was funny. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was about, like, offensive linemen. And he was talking about how he is an inferior athlete to every person he plays against.
Uh-huh.
But he has to beat them with his feet, his eyes, and his hand placement. And so that's how I kind of try to work it out, to where it's like, you know, if I have to go against the defensive tackle or a defensive lineman who's paid to rush the passer, okay, like, I just got to have great eye discipline. I got to have great hand placement. My feet have to be exactly where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just have to beat them with my technique. And so, you know, I try to do that. And then the rest is just go down there and try to hit something as hard as you can.
I know a guy. I know a guy who has a son. He does it in college. And I forget. I know he just transferred last year. And I want to say it's Western Connecticut, but it's not that. I think they just played him. But they, like, really are into, like, the history of long snappers. Do you, because you're a long snapper, do you have to look up the former long snappers or anything? Like they are really into the history of long snappers, this family.
So I know a little, you know, I'm not a historian of it, but
please.
I know that Coach Belichick was the first person that kind of was the, I would say, the godfather of it, who wanted it to become a specialized position. I was a big fan of, you know, Brian Pompeon when he was here, Christian Yount when he was here, and then Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up, Charlie was the only long snapper that I ever watched for the Browns. And that was, you know, I watched his game. And
how old are you again?
I'm 29.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You look so much younger. I thought you were 22. Sorry,
no,
go ahead.
It's all good.
Go ahead.
But no, so I watched, you know, I watched those guys. And yeah. That was who, you know, and then I remember one time, I think we had won a game in high school, so we got, like, the Browns game of the week or something, so we got to be on the sidelines, and it was when the Steelers were in town, is when they had Greg Warren. And I remember, and I forget, it was Greg Warren, and then I don't know it might have been Christian Yount was this arch snapper here. But I remember those two, like, going back and forth and thinking to myself a little bit, like, I don't throw that much slower than these guys.
Really?
And that was kind of the first time where I was like, okay, maybe this is something. And then, but other than that, like, I like to keep up with the long snappers around the league. I'm friends with a lot of the guys around the league.
Just how could
because,
you not be? Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a small, such a small group of us. And then even the guys that aren't in the league that are really, really, really good. I mean, some of these guys that aren't in the league are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking for their shot, you know, just like I was. And but it's a small fraternity of us, like you said, and it's a fun group if you ever get to be around a bunch of us.
So, like, any of the older guys who had done it before, like a guy like Patrick Manley played, so you know who that is.
Yes.
He was in the league forever.
Correct.
And able to do it. And then there's, like, the Turks and the other ones who are just, you know, the families that are able to do it. For you, is it just like a game-by-game mentality?
Yes.
Is it like a day-by-day thing with you? You don't think in those terms of, like, well, Patrick Manley played like 17, 18 years or whatever it was as a long snapper.
Yeah, no, I try to approach it every day, you know, like, you know, kind of going back to last year, like, I didn't know how long I was going to be here. Mm-hmm. Every day that I walk into the facility and my key card works, it's a good day for me. And I take that with, you know, the responsibility of helping in any way that I can and just trying to play my hardest. And so I don't think of it in terms of years and of, you know, I like to think of it, you know, If I get through Wednesday, I get to go to Thursday. If I get through Thursday, I get to go to Friday. And from there on, and just try to play my best.
That's outstanding. Rick Sunohara joining us on the show. So it's weird because when we first started, it was like, seemed like nobody on the Browns. And we've been here for a while. Nobody on the Browns is from here. Now it's like, because one of the questions I always want to ask a guy from Cleveland, it's like, well, do you tell anybody from Cleveland, but or tell any other players about Cleveland? But it's going, well, you got Denzel, you got Mike. We got Jerome, for crying out loud.
I played Jerome in high school. He was the guy. He beat me my last game of my high school career in the state quarterfinals.
You're kid.
Yep. We had him. We were down 14. We were tied 14-14 going into the going into the second half. And then Benedictine decided to do the best thing they could do, and it was give Jerome Baker the ball. And the final score was 42-14.
You're kidding.
So it's
And then you've talked about this before.
I have, and I'm definitely not upset about it. And I'm definitely me and my friends don't talk about it anymore. And it's
So do you still get to go? Do you get to go to any Bay games recently? Or
I went to the playoff games last year, and I actually had the honor of talking to the team before their playoff game this year.
Mm-hmm.
They had a new coach that came in, Coach Big Rig, and so he asked me to come in and talk to the team, and so that was really cool. Just because I grew up idolizing guys like, you know, Dave Zastadil and he, you know, I walked in every day to Bay High School and saw his jersey hanging up there. That Browns 15 jersey, I can still see it right now. And like,
oh, Diamond Dave's great.
Yeah, all the best. And so, you know, just being able to talk to those guys was great.
Yeah, punter and a long snapper from Bay. How's the soccer program there? Is it good?
They're good, man. I mean,
I would hope so.
The women just the Bay women's team just won their second straight state title,
of course,
which is awesome. And
of course,
we the guys were down and they were in the state title too, but they fell in overtime, I think. So it just, I mean, we're a good program, and I mean, football is great too. We so my senior year was 20.
Well, you guys have always been a solid program.
Not before Coach Rutt took over.
Really?
We hadn't gone to the playoffs in, I want to say, 30-something years, and now we've been 12 straight years. From my senior year until this year, we've gone every year to the state.
I assumed you guys were a really good program. Because ever since I've been here doing this for 14 years, and I just, it basically,
that's it.
Ever since then.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Well, let me ask you this, and I won't keep you too terribly much longer than this. Does anybody ask for advice about the area in Cleveland when they're from? Because, like, we had Tyson Campbell last week. Mm-hmm. And Tyson Campbell's seen snow, I think, two or three times now. I think last week was the second time. And I said, well, I had to tell him about two-stage snow blowers, depending on what side of the city he lives on, how to stabilize it for the summertime, that type of thing. Is there where to put the salt when the garage door comes down? Because it'll stick, and then it'll mess up your garage door. Is there anything like that that you have to say to guys who might be from like Arizona or California, Southern California, things like that?
It's nothing like that. It's more of, you know, a lot of people have a very negative connotation of the city, to where it's like, oh man, there's nothing to do. There's, you know, where do I go? What do I do? And it's like, I try to tell people about, you know, fishing on Lake Erie, because that's what I love to do. I like to tell people about, you know, go take a walk in Rocky River, you know, along the Rocky River in the Metro Parks. Go do that in the fall time. You know, go to these restaurants that are just unbelievable.
World class.
That are some of the best food I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And I've been going there since I was 8. And it's like, you know, and some people just don't get that. And so, like, anytime I have the chance to tell people, like, hey, go to this, you know, and I'll give like a small shout out, like, go to Jake's on the Lake in Avon Lake. That is one of my favorite restaurants in the entire world. I grew up going there. Yeah. It's my, like, and it's just the best. And people are like, oh, you eat fish out of Lake Erie?
Yeah. That's what they're there for.
It's the best. Have a perch dinner. Have walleye. Try it. It's unbelievable.
Do you fish for walleye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the easiest one for me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. That's
Oh no, I mean, that's what I grew up doing with my grandfather and my uncles, and we would just go. You know, we don't have like a big boat, but we just go out on the boat, put the rods in, troll a little bit, and just catch fish.
Oh my goodness gracious, that's awesome, Rex. I can't thank you enough for the time. You're absolutely wonderful. Tell your buddies I said thanks for bringing that to your attention. I'm glad they follow along. I'm glad they listen and all the other things. And continued success to you, my friend.
Ken, thank you very much for having me.
Rex Sunahara joining us in the Player Spotlight. When Gerard and I come back, we'll take you around the league and down to Cincinnati, where guys are just getting suspended for not-so-great things. Ken Carmen alongside of Gerard Cherry. It is the Cleveland Browns Preview Show, presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of your Cleveland Browns, on the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.